Welcome to the Region of Queens Municipal Regular Council Meeting Tuesday, August 9th, 2022. I'd like to call the meeting to order. There are some changes to the agenda under in-camera items. 9.1, sale of municipal property will remain where it is. 9.2 is going to become potential litigation. There is a new 9.3, sale of municipal property. And 9.4 is a personnel. Do any members of council have any other changes to the agenda? If not, I'll ask for approval of the agenda. Moved by Councilor Brown, seconded by Councilor Merrill. All those in favor? Passed. This morning, we are pleased to have a presentation from the Queens Care Councilor.
You asked me to remind you that we don't do certain things here in council, but for Sarah Mitten.
All right. Okay. Councilor Fancy just wanted me to congratulate Sarah Mitten on her gold at the Commonwealth as well. She's recently done bronze in the diamond thing, and we look forward to her continued success. So thank you, Councilor Fancy, for that. We'd like to welcome the Queens Care Building Society, who are going to give us a very exciting and forward-thinking presentation. So if I could call the presenters. So Council, we're going to, Tony Ross is going to be joining us electronically from outside of the province. Once the presentation is finished, questions and answers, because there's no video for him to see you, when you do your questions and answers, I ask that you speak loud and that you identify yourself before you speak. So, Mr. Clark?
Good morning. Thank you, Mayor Norman, councilors. The purpose of us coming today was to update council on the progress we've been making towards this exciting project of building a new nursing home for Queens. The other purpose we have is to discuss its location. It's really our project because we signed a cooperation agreement between the Queens Care Building Society and the Region of Queens, and that has been very helpful to us as we've moved ahead. One of the things that the cooperation agreement did was to establish a steering committee with joint representation from the Queens Care Building Society and, more importantly, for the Region of Queens. I say it's an exciting project because it's going to bring, it's 112 beds, which is huge. It's 22 new beds for Queens, over and above the beds we already have at the Manor and at Hillsview Acres. It's going to have, with those 22 new beds, it's going to have a huge impact on acute care in Queens and help to relieve the people who've been the people who've been medically discharged but who still stay in the hospital and occupy acute care beds. It hopefully will reduce the wait times for people to get into the nursing home, and it will have a huge economic impact on Queens. We currently have 103 employees at the Manor. We expect that to almost double. And the cost of the project itself, and don't hold me to this number, but it's going to be well north of $50 million. Some are saying $70 million. So during the construction, it's going to have that huge impact. And also, the people working there will revitalize that area to the east of Liverpool. I'd like to, first of all, though, having mentioned the steering committee, I'd like to thank the employees of the region for the very real contribution they made, the hard work that they have done, the sacrificing of their personal time, and I'd like to single out Chris McNeil, the CAO, Adam Grant, the Director of Engineering and Works, and Janie Ryan, who's the Executive Director at Hillsview Acres. I'd also like to thank Kim Masland, our MLA, who has been front and center on this, who worked very hard to get us the extra beds from 96 beds up to the 112. Our objective too today is to pin down a site for the new facility. And it's important we do that soon, because we can't go ahead and design anything until we have certainty as to its location. I have with me today Andrew McVicker, who is the executive director of the Manor, who is now the chair of the steering committee, Murray Tate, who is the project manager on this project, and you'll get the further introduction. In the gallery is Alex De Niro, who is with Marco, which is the construction manager. Again, more information will follow. We will have on the screen from Toronto, Tony Ross, who is a principal in Montgomery Sism, which is part of the design team for the project. I'm going to turn this over now to Andrew, and he'll take us through, and then we'll go and have a presentation from Tony. Andrew?
Thanks, Chris. I'd also like to start by thanking the council for giving this opportunity to us to present exciting developments in this project to date, and to give Tony Ross an opportunity to talk about some of the exciting design concepts that we've been working through. We also thought it would be a good time to provide an update, a written update from the steering committee on what's transpired over the last several months. So I put together a written update on that. So the past few months have been very busy, as the steering committee and board have completed some essential steps towards the design and build of our new home. The RFP process for the prime design team was completed in May, with the work awarded to Halifax firm Fowler, Bold & Mitchell and Toronto firm Montgomery Sism Architects. You will have the opportunity to meet one of the prime architects, Tony Ross, from the Montgomery Sism team shortly. The RFP process for construction management was completed in June. After completing interviews with two competitive firms, Marco Builders of Atlantic Canada were selected to be construction managers for the new build. They are located out of both Halifax and Newfoundland. Over the last 2 months, the steering committee and management team at both Queen's Manor and Hillsview Acres have been working closely with the prime design team to begin the exciting process of establishing a design that best meets the needs of both groups of residents and staff from both Queen's Manor. These sessions have primarily been led by Tony Ross and have been incredibly collaborative. The focus has been on the following: establishing a vision that captures the existing areas of excellence from both facilities and how this can be captured and enhanced in a new home. This has included very interesting what are called day in the life sessions, which have allowed Tony's team to get a real sense of what makes both of our facilities unique. Functional programming sessions occurred, where we get into the nuts and bolts of Nova Scotia's guidelines for new build long-term care facilities and how this will impact the layout, the footprint, and the day-to-day function of our new facility. It's been really refreshing to have Tony on this project and to hear his excitement over Nova Scotia's more progressive and holistic approach to long-term care design compared to the other jurisdictions he's worked on across the country. So he's been really excited about how these guidelines in Nova Scotia give you more opportunity to use space to enhance the lives of residents. These sessions have been conducted using what's called Miro software, which I found just amazing. It's a virtual whiteboard allowing all participants to share ideas, photos, and even virtual sticky notes in real time as we think of ideas that we want to incorporate into the build. This is going to be rolled out as well. It was last week rolled out to our management team, and over the coming weeks and months, it's going to be rolled out to staff at both facilities so that at any given time during a shift when they have an idea that they think would enhance the new home, they can share those ideas really quickly and easily on this whiteboard. excuse me. The design team is not only willing to, but expects that as we move forward over the coming months, leadership and frontline staff from all departments in both facilities will begin interacting with the team using both face-to-face meetings and the Miro platform, so that when they walk into the new home, they will see that their thoughts and ideas have been heard as well. So that's an update from the steering committee. And at this time, I'd like to hand over the floor to Tony, who hopefully has been listening along from Toronto. Are you there, Tony?
Hi, everyone. I've heard everything really great, Andrew. It's super clear, so thanks for the introduction. Thanks, Chris, both Chris and Andrew, thanks for your introductory words. And thanks to the whole room today and council for inviting me in with you today to talk to you a little bit about some of the early work that we've been studying with the teams. Just before I get started, I'd like to also thank the group there that put together the technology for today. It's really, I think, allowed me to sort of remain here in Toronto, but still hopefully talk to you with good experience. So thanks to everyone there that managed the technology side of today's session. Andrew, thanks for the introduction to me and the team. Andrew mentioned that my name's Tony Ross, and I'm a principal at Montgomery Sisom Architects, and we're of course based out of Toronto, and we're half of the architectural team that has been selected to work with you and your team. We're working, of course, with FBM out of Halifax, who are just an exceptional group of people and a great partner, collaborative partner to work with. So we're very excited. Montgomery Sisom Architects, so we've really been brought to this project as a specialist in long-term care. Our firm is a leader in the long-term care sector, and we have been for more than 40 years. And our firm has more long-term care experience than any other architectural practice in Canada, and I think that's it's part of the reason why we've been asked to join this team, and part of our success in being selected to work with you. Myself, I'm a specialist in seniors focused work in all of its facets, but I have a particular specialty and a particular love and affinity for long-term care. I really enjoy most my work in this part of the sector. And I had the opportunity to come to Liverpool in May, and I got a chance to experience the site and participate in your community firsthand. And it was exciting. I was really, it was a great trip, and I wish it was longer. It was just too short. That was the only problem. And as Andrew and Chris mentioned, we've been working for the last 6 weeks with your team on some early visioning around the project. And today we hope to share just a brief presentation on some early design thinking that we've been doing around the lands, in particular the property, and some early visioning of what might be possible on that site. But before we get into the presentation, I wanted to just say that personally, I'm really excited for all of you. This is a really great opportunity for you and the whole community. We're lucky, all of us are lucky to be part of a project that has so much at stake. We have the ability here to impact the lives of seniors within your community for generations and generations. So it's just to say that the work that we're doing and the decisions we make today are very, very important. They have can have immense outcomes. So it's exciting and it's very important work, and I'm very excited for you. So I'm gonna share screen if that's okay. Andrew, can you see my agenda?
Not right now.
Okay, just give me one sec. How about now?
There we are. You're good.
Perfect. So just a quick agenda of what I was going to share today as part of the presentation here with you. Just to get us kind of warmed up, I was going to show just some context plans and photographs of the site. Have a little talk about modules and about how we think about modules for living in the context of the Nova Scotia guideline for long-term care, and in the context of the 112 residents that we're anticipating for the new build. Then we're going to talk a little bit about elements of our program that need space and will benefit from space, and that's physical space, site-based space is what we're thinking about there. We'll then show an image of the site and a potential site boundary, and then we'll show two kind of design studies or design options. One of those options is a one-story building, and one of those options is a combination one- and two-story hybrid building for the purpose of talking through some talking points. Then we'll show a slide about community programming and a vision for things even beyond the long-term care home and other community-based thinking. And then we'll show a local precedent and a innovative precedent that we've exported from the Toronto region, just to illustrate a couple of themes. If that's okay, we'll just pan sideways. So first, just a little bit of a context plan. If you can see, this is a map of the area. And you can see highlighted in red the site that we've been looking at and thinking about for the new home. And we did a little map, just sort of plotting out some of. So if we zoom in a little bit, this is kind of a sort of blow up of that site with the aerial photograph kind of turned on, and we've highlighted some of the characteristics that we find unique and interesting about what surrounds the site and what you've all been working on and what's already in place and existing around the proposed site. And those could include some practical amenities, things like the hotel and services like retail services. But also we've noticed the sort of sum of many recreation-focused elements and interesting attributes of the site that are very unique. Things like the Amaris Center, of course, as a recreation amenity for your community. But we see these other things that are growing around the site, which are very interesting, and we're excited about things like the skate park and the BMX trails and all of the other recreational-focused activities, some toboggan hills maybe. And then some interesting attributes such as, you know, Cosby's and the naturalized lands that lie east of the site. And so we've been taking stock of all of these existing amenities and assets and thinking about how one might become part of this story and part of this legacy with a new building for seniors. And then these are just some photographs in and around the site, you know, the walking trails, the new playground that was under construction in May when we were there, and of course the skate park and the parklands in Amaris Center. They're wonderful. You've really amassed a real critical mass of recreation and recreation-focused activities, supports, and services around this site that's quite compelling. So a little discussion about modules in the context of the long-term care standard for the province. So as Andrew and Chris mentioned, the mandate for the new project is 112 residents. And we've thought a little bit about modules for how those 112 residents might be structured in the form of a building in compliance with the design standards. And we've done a series of one-story, two-story, and one- and two-story hybrid kind of sketches on the site of what the building footprint might look like. And we're going to show you some of those studies in a couple of slides just later in my slide deck. And I think we're going to focus today on the one-story and the one-story hybrid, one-, two-story hybrid options, which I've highlighted here just in the yellow box. And again, these studies are very, very early. The ones that we're going to show you are very, very early, and they're just to think about what's possible on the site within the design standard and in accordance with kind of best practice thinking. So we've done a little bit of thinking about what parts of the program for the new building might require space, and we've just kind of listed them here to think about as we begin to sketch out options for the site. Parking is a big requirement for these sites. By the time you amass priority parking, staff parking, parking for specialty vehicles like buses for transportation for residents, and also the practical aspects of drop-off and pickup, and also accommodation for special vehicles, medical transport vehicles, and other services. Parking is a big requirement at the site. It takes space to be able to accommodate the right amount of the right balance and amount of parking. The project is thinking very high in the context of sustainability, and two aspects of the sustainability discussion are going to require space. One of them is geothermal, which of course will require, it uses the ground to produce energy, heating and cooling and so on. And the other thing that we're looking at is solar PV, potentially site-based solar PV, and site-based solar PV requires site. So both of those things need space. They need physical space to be able to be implemented. We've thought about the location of the site and its proximity to the highway, and we're imagining that there's the need for some practical noise and visual buffer along the highway side, so we're imagining that a portion of the site-based lands are going to be committed to that. In the sketches that we'll show you, resident outdoor space, resident courtyards at grade, so meaningful outdoor space at grade is something that we're really hoping to deliver in this project, and of course, more meaningful outdoor space at grade requires more site. We've had these amazing discussions with the steering committee and with many frontline users in our early interactions about the idea that this building offers things that make it function not just as a long-term care home, but as a community hub. And I'll speak a little bit about community hub and the potential and the vision behind that concept, but community hubs are enhanced programming that serve both the residents and the community, and generally community hubs require space for that programming to take place. And of course, there's all the practical aspects of the work, things like fire protection, maintenance, and a certain amount of space is required around the building for those activities to take place. So anyway, just a summary of the thing, just to illustrate the idea that long-term care homes require a fair amount of physical footprint. Progressive long-term care homes that really prioritize outdoor space and projects that prioritize sustainability, all of those things are great undertakings, but they do require space physically. And the most important element of the program we think that needs space is really is the residents. And the residents, Andrew and Andrew's team of frontline users over the past very short series of interactions that we've had with them, they've helped us understand that Queens Manor and Hillsview Acres really have an exemplary set of existing recreation programs that they're running from their facilities. And there's a desire really to make sure that the new home continues the legacy of delivering those exceptional programs to your community. And Andrew and team have really sort of shared the phrase with us, delivering life to years. And I think it's a great phrase to sort of hold high in the project. And I think it's very important that the new building continues to promote the idea of adding life to years. And I love these photographs. Andrew has shared these photographs with us. And what's amazing is that they're not stock photos. They're photos of of residents, real residents from your community participating in outdoor-based activities, site-based activities, and they're really wonderful. They're better than any stock image that anyone could come up with because they're real and they're really meaningful. And they tell a very important story, I think, about the uniqueness of your facilities. So just a little sketch of the site that we've been looking at for the purpose of our studies. This is a survey of the site that's been overlaid with an aerial photograph. The aerial photograph is just for context for some of the buildings surrounding the site. The site that we're showing here is about 11.7 acres in size, so that's about 4.75 hectares. And we've used this as the baseline for a couple of studies that we've done looking at the lands. Andrew mentioned that we're a little bit jealous of the Nova Scotia guidelines. My computer's just regenerating for 1 second. We're jealous of the Nova Scotia guidelines in a few different ways. We're envious, but three items in particular jump out at us about the guidelines, and he mentioned some of it. In particular, your guidelines really hold high the concept of residential scale and residential character. So the idea that long-term care homes are homes, they're not institutions, but they really maintain the quality of a home-like character and feel that's not intimidating and is very residential in scale and character, and that's very important. And your guideline holds the idea of smallness. One of the concepts they use is about small home thinking and about smallness as a way of maintaining that character. Your guideline holds very high meaningful outdoor space, which speaks at length about the importance of outdoor space in the day-to-day life of residents. And it holds that with great care, and it talks about it in a way that other provinces' design standards do not, so it's very commendable. And the design standard also speaks very well about community integration, and it talks about the importance of social life and social activity for residents. And that is the sum of both social life in and around the home, in the social circles of the residents, but also the potential to integrate with the community to create a bigger social circle and to maintain normalness in a senior's life. That continues to talk about integration with community. And I think it's important to mention those three attributes because I think the site that we're talking about today and the designs that have the possibility to find themselves evolving from this site have the ability to present a building that's visionary if the elements and the arrangement of the elements is handled well. So we've assembled two options. I'll run through in detail the one-story option, and then I'll show you the hybrid one- and two-story option. Because the two options, their attributes are pretty similar. Their kind of overriding concepts are pretty similar. The physical footprint of the building differs slightly, but the big picture concepts are very similar. So we'll go in detail through the first one, and then I'll show you the second one and kind of why it's different, if that makes sense. In these sketches, we've identified existing assets around the site with numbers. So you can see things like the AmeriCenter and the hotel and the AmeriCenter parking lots and the skate park. We've given those all numbers, numerical numbers, just to sort of catalog them. But they include AmeriCenter, the hotel, the skate park, playground, Toboggan Hill, the walking trails, the BMX trail, the Cosby Sculpture Park, and sculpture elements, and a series of rest stations along the walking trail, and we've just categorized those on the map here. And then the way we've thought about this site is that we've tried to imagine how this new facility might become more than just a long-term care home. We've really asked ourselves how this project might contribute to and enhance what you all have already created and started here on this site. You know, we've been lucky, as I mentioned, to work with clients across the country that are really seeking innovative projects for seniors, places that support best outcomes for seniors, but also places that act as incubators and really strong community hubs for the wider community. And this program this richness in programs is really great for our seniors, but there's a huge benefit to the wider community when we can think about a facility like this as a community facility and not something that's separated and isolated from the community, but integrated. So we're trying to think about this site where the strength of the site and the strength of this new building is in the sum of the lands and the amenities, and where the new home has an opportunity to make a meaningful contribution toward a vision, a larger vision for the area. So it wants to be not just another building on another site, but it actually wants to enhance all of the activities that are happening and that you've created around this site. So what we've done is we've tried to focus the building so that one arrives at the building, if you can see my cursor, arrives at the building at a south-facing point of arrival. So item A and item B really represent a drop-off and a place to arrive at the building that's south-facing. It'd be wonderful to have the sun shine on the front door and to have the whole front space out in front of the building facing the community be flooded with daylight during the day. We've created this in orange, you can see an orange box, we've created this space that would be the community connection space or multi-purpose space, and we're calling it community connections because it has the ability to be the piece that connects with the wider community out in front of the building and out in front of the resident households. The resident households and the supportive amenities for the residents are really highlighted here in yellow. And you can see this community space is the orange space that sits out in front of the residents' household spaces. They're more private and personal spaces. Each of these resident households in this design would sort of contain access to at-grade outdoor space, significant, meaningful at-grade outdoor space, and that's really to promote the idea for equity and connectivity to the outdoors for all residents equally. And once we land these building components, we've really started to imagine, could this building connect into the walking trails? Could our seniors, RCF residents and long-term care residents who were more ambulatory, could they use the walking trails? Could families and visitors that are visiting the home use the walking trails? Could you push a loved one on a portion of the walking trail? So might we actually connect to and enhance the walking trail system as part of this design? We're proposing what could be a really large, you can see it here in green, to the south side of the site, a very large park-like element that could extend sort of out from the building and connect the new home to all of the community-based amenities that lie south of the site. So really, what would happen if instead of this building just being sort of inward-looking, could it be outward-looking and could it connect to all of those community-based amenities that you're developing around the site? Could the seniors have access to watching kids skate in the skate park? Could seniors have access to, watching all kinds of things that could happen in that outdoor green space? Could that mean better life for the residents that's just full of life and full of meaning and activity? Really this park could be a sort of incubator for what might be, intergenerational and community programming space. So could you have an interior space in the community connections room and an outdoor space, all which promote the idea of community connections and community interaction? And wouldn't that be great? The second study that we did is really looking at the same 112 beds, but it's in just a slightly different configuration. You can see it here. So one of the wings has been stacked as a two-story wing, and the other elements along the east side of the site are one-story pieces. But all of the same concepts that we just talked about as, the potential for this site to integrate with the other sites around it are all the same as the other proposal. And this really does illustrate, I think, the idea that the physical footprint is fairly similar in a one, two-story hybrid option as it would be in a one-story option. The building form is a little bit more compact because we stacked a couple of the households on top of each other. And in doing that, we probably have the ability to take the orange building and turn it sideways so that one could face more directly So, you know, the park and the front of the home, the sort of home community spaces could walk out directly into the park. The park might be slightly larger in size, so it could be a bit more of an expanded amenity and a stronger amenity. So, you know, if you were to stack some of the building into multiple levels, you probably just enhance the ability to deliver the park-like elements for the design. A little bit about community programming and community thinking. You know, really, once you set up a building and set up the building's outdoor spaces for the purpose of community thinking, the number of programs and the diversity and richness of things that could find themselves onto this site is really endless. We've had all kinds of success in our projects delivering community-based programming. So sometimes that's intergenerational programming. We've put childcare centers, we've put adult day program centers, seniors day programming centers integrated with long-term care homes. We've done community gardens. And then there's an endless array of continuing to expand the outdoor recreation. Imagine that within that new park that you had a space where you could deliver skating in the cold weather months or other activities that keep this as a community center year round is really some of the things that could be done. But the list is really endless. It's, you know, we could do as many things here as one could imagine could be done, and they're all possible. We've delivered many of them, but there's new ones to be explored, I'm sure. I've never done skating. I'd love to do skating. And we included in today's presentation just a couple of precedent images. The first is for a facility that we delivered in Nova Scotia about 10 years ago. It's called Tidal View. This is just an aerial photograph of it. It's just to try to help give a better sense of those early sketches and diagrams. They're not very clear in terms of what they're showing, but the plan arrangement of this building at Tidal View is very similar to the sketch that we just showed for the, you know, what might be possible on your site. It's really a series of 12 resident room households in two pairs around courtyards. So there's meaningful outdoor space, and that meaningful outdoor space is protected by two small households containing a small number of residents. And resident life happens in that sort of those small communities. But there are spaces on this site, like there would be on your site, for community-focused and community-based activities outside of the household areas. And we included a second precedent, which does, it's a Toronto-based precedent, but it does a really good job of illustrating a concept of this community-based thinking. This is Peel Manor, which is a project that's been delivered in Brampton for the region of Peel. Here you can see the footprint of a long-term care home, which has been, it's under construction, almost finished, probably taking residence at the end of this year. But as part of this design, there was a design of a large community park, almost the same size as the long-term care home, that was developed adjacent to and extending from the long-term care home. So this community park was a community asset where there's all kinds of community programming taking place, but it's directly interconnected to the long-term care home. And so the long-term care home has a role to play in the community-based thinking for the larger site. This project is really innovative and inspirational because of the park component, but it's also inspirational because as part of the program for this long-term care home, there's also a day program for community-based seniors that's staged out of this building. And the accommodation there is for 100 seniors every day to come from the wider community and use the facility and use the amenities and assets of the facility in a meaningful way, and then return to the community at the end of the day. So this building serves its residents, but it also serves the wider community in a way that's pretty amazing and pretty progressive. So thanks very much for allowing me to share these thoughts today, and excited, nice to meet you all, and I'm very excited to be part of the team bringing this to your community, and I'll meet you all in person very soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Tony, very much. It's great. Murray, would you like to?
Yeah, it won't be very long here. Thank you, Chris. Many of you have got to meet me before, and some of you know me fairly well. I'm excited today because Tony's excited, and if you don't know Tony very well, that's Tony excited. Okay? And so I'm also excited because Tony and Andrew are getting along really well. That's huge. 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 Now, I'm also excited. Were you a racer? You. No, no.
You. Me?
Yeah, yeah. Were you a racer in your younger years? Like, did you drive stick shift pretty fast?
No, no.
I think this guy knows how to shift a car from first to third. Okay? And I think we can do it, but we need your help. So the government approached us, and they asked us to reduce the cost of these facilities. It's a big, big problem. So all this nice dreaming, I get to dump on it with money. And sorry, but it's a reality of what we're facing. So they came to our office, and they wanted to discuss three ways to reduce cost. We told them, hurry up. Inflation is going up. Interest is going up. Those numbers there, the interest on this kind of money, if there's accountants in here, just put up your hand and tell me how it dwarfs the capital cost. The interest just dwarfs it. So fast track it, control your interest, control your inflation. All adds up to an interesting word, conserve. Be conservative in your decision. Be conservative in your approach. Conserve energy, conserve space. Just be conservative. That's what's going to get you there. So, in order to shift from first to third, without skipping a gear and missing a beat, we really need to secure this land. Allowing Tony's excitement and team to design on land that we don't own and, you know, worst case scenario, not have at the last minute or something, it would just derail all the good work. Trying to get a facility open for 2025-2026 is a tall order. This is one of the major risks. There are other risks. We're not guaranteeing that date. Let's be clear. But we are all pushing for it. Alex, his team, pushing for it. FBM, Tony's team, pushing for it. The work is, we need to finalize our approach to the project with the government, with our construction manager, and with our prime design consultant. That's hard, because this is a challenging project. It's going to be a high-performance, long-term care facility that you can be extremely proud of when we're done. So the ask is we need 11.7 acres to fulfill Tony and Andrew's dream and vision and your vision. I think there's a real opportunity here for you. I assume that Tony's team will come with some public consultation into next steps. We worked with Tony's team before on Tidalview and another facility in Alderwood and Vedek. We're going to visit Vedek shortly. The reason we're going to visit that facility is because it's a largely the same as the one he's shown, but it's a hybrid one too. So we don't know how many stories this building will be yet, but to show Andrew, give him the opportunity to speak to an administrator who has experience with a multi-story facility. We thought we built the perfect facility in Vedek, but they have complaints. That's fair. Let's hear them. Let's take them in and do better. So that's the plan. I think we're open to questions. I'm going to restrict my answering to risks and schedule. We can direct any questions to design and quality towards Tony. And if we can't answer them, we'll let you know and get back to you.
Thank you, Murray. Just before I wrap up, I would like to correct one thing that Murray said. He talked about 25 into 26 as a start date. Doing my homework before I came here, reread the cooperation agreement, which had occupancy by the end of 2024. There's been some slippage. We're looking at Labor Day 2025. We don't have 2026 on our agenda. Murray, better get it off yours. But it is urgent to get the land and get starting design right away. So thank you very much. We are open for questions. Any one of us will be pleased to answer any question.
Easy to know where a guy stands with you.
Deputy Mayor Mears, do you want to come back? So remind people with any questions just to identify yourself so Mr. Ross will know who's speaking before you speak. So questions to Mr. Ross, questions to anyone at the table. Councilor Gidney.
Councilor Gidney, I'm just curious, in the design, are there going to be any double rooms, like for married or seniors that are together? That would be going into a home together.
This happens on occasion, and it'll be up to the administration.
administrator and the designers to take that on, but it has happened on occasion, yes.
Okay, and will there be palliative care rooms?
It's being discussed. There will certainly be appropriate space for palliative cases. With the new guidelines for long-term care builds, primarily just about all of the rooms are gonna be private. So that in and of itself creates appropriate palliative space. But some of the things that we've been looking at with Tony through the guidelines is how you can use create a family space for families that are visiting from out of town. That may be incorporated into a palliative approach. But these are all the kind of the sliders that we move around when we're doing functional programming to determine how we create the best use of space within the 880 square feet per resident that we're given to work with. But
so
palliative care is certainly an area where we are lacking significantly right now in both facilities, and it will be addressed for sure.
Thank you.
I don't know, Tony, if you have anything you wanted to add to that?
No, I think you guys did a really good job speaking about it. And I think, Andrew, you're right. We'll have these conversations with the group as we go through detailed design. I think a couple of things that are front of mind for us is thinking about this building, as you said, that's a series of rooms that are all private-based accommodation for the most part, and about how that changes the discussion around palliative care and end-of-life considerations. It is a different consideration than a home that has basic accommodation and shared room configurations or wardroom-based configurations, but that won't be the case in the new home, so it changes the conversation a little bit. And part of what we think about philosophically when we think about that is one of our goals and objectives as we walk through the design is really going to be trying to understand that a resident's stay in the new home really wants to create consistency and doesn't want to disrupt a resident. A resident wants to find home in the home, and hopefully that home will be home forever, and that even their end of life care can be properly accommodated in their space, in their home, in their room. And how wonderful would it be not to be displaced at the end of one's life into a setting that's different and uncommon. So Andrew, I love the way you speak about it, which is accommodate that function within every resident room, ensure that the resident isn't displaced in the end of life condition, and make accommodation for families and visitors and for others that need to come and participate in that end of life care part, and but do it in other space in the home to support that activity as opposed to displace.
And I guess I could add to the accommodation for shared accommodation for married couples. That will be a priority. There will be, we've spoken, Tony and I and our team have spoken about how to create those types of spaces. So whether it's designated double rooms or rooms that have the ability to adjoin one another and create a shared space for a married couple. So that will be a priority to create that space, because we do have residents right now who are married couples, so, and we have over the last couple of years. So definitely a priority.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gidney. Good comment. Councillor Charlton.
Thank you. It was mentioned by Tony about child care services being offered in some of the long-term care facilities. Is that something that's been considered with this project, or
it absolutely is. We talk about it, and like I think Tony mentioned, we're excited about every opportunity that presents itself to make this an integrated part of the community. And when I think of day-to-day operations at the manor currently, childcare comes into play just about every day. So having the space to create something like that and having the freedom to think about all of those community integration models in childcare comes up a lot.
So childcare is an example of out of scope program. Great program, but out of scope. So in order to get that type of program in scope, we need a business case and we need the government of Nova Scotia to support it. So anybody that would want to bring childcare to this facility, we'd love to.
Well, I know I've worked with these daycare in the past, and it's just a struggle to offer childcare outside of the normal 7 to 5:30 or 7 to 5:30 hours, and a lot of your staff are not working those hours.
The spin-off positive effects. I have three children.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to see and do some
mean, I've had friends that have not returned to work for those reasons alone, and I know the daycare's full, and they're going to be expanding, but I think their waitlist is already exceeding the numbers that they're expanding to, so.
I think in the future, all three people in the family are gonna have to work, all three adults, 'cause right now, all two adults are having to work, and that's not cutting man's meat. So all three adults are gonna have to work from now on.
And a daycare very easily blends into that intergenerational piece we're talking about. So wouldn't, my vision would be not just a daycare on the site where the children are segregated from the seniors. It's integrating that childcare into the life of the seniors.
Good question. Counselor Brown?
I guess that comes back to your community hub and you're trying to integrate everything. Counselor Brown, and, sorry. I know we have a committee looking at a library, we have another committee struck with a swimming pool, and where you're talking about putting daycare in there, this could be a real community hub if all of those things could work together. I mean, what's your vision for the community hub to get more people in the community involved?
I'm definitely referring to Toby.
Yeah.
Yeah, Toby, we're referring to you.
You're on, Tony.
Yeah, I think I heard pretty well the question, and thanks for the question. Really, and I'm really being genuine when I say this, the vision for the community hub is really boundless. I was telling the group yesterday, we've been sort of delivering community-based hub thinking in projects for a long time, and I've been lucky to integrate. I'm working on my third childcare, like long-term care home project currently with integrated childcare, and I mean really integrated, like where kids and seniors can sit around a fireplace or they can cook together, and do activities together. So I've been really lucky to be part of some real innovative thinkers and community builders that have understood the benefits to seniors in thinking on the basis of community and the outcomes and how they can be, you know, so far enhanced if there's community-based thinking. So we've done childcare centers integrated, we've done adult day programs for seniors, community-based seniors, on almost every project that we do thinks about those things. Many of our projects do community space, flexible community space for meetings and other things. I was telling the team that the City of Toronto has just aligned a new build long-term care with a new library, and we were just notified Friday last week that we were going to be the people pushing that design ahead. So the integration of all of these things that you're talking about, libraries, childcare centers, adult day programs for seniors, it's all very possible and it's all been done. It's just about, you know, as Murray said, it's about aligning the right partners, having those conversations, facilitating those conversations about what's possible, and about securing funding to make it happen. And it can all be done. I know the City of Toronto has been dying for years to align one of their seniors' new builds to a recreation program, in particular a swimming program, because I think they see the benefits of aquatics to seniors and the potential program sort of synergies that could result from that alignment. They're trying for it. They haven't been able to get the right pieces to align, but I'm confident that one day we'll be designing one of those facilities that has integrated recreation and integrated aquatics into a long-term care home. And how amazing would that be for the seniors and their rec programming? Imagine that, Andrew.
Amazing. And I also, I always say that residents are priority one, obviously, but staff are priority 1A. And we are going to be faced with a task of staffing a larger facility. And that's going to require attracting people from other parts of the province, other parts of the country, and around the world. And so if we can demonstrate that we're part of a community hub and we have services nearby that staff can use as well, the community hub has already started there. Folks have done that, and we just want to be a part of it and contribute to it and have our residents and staff contribute to it and use that space to attract new staff.
Because the number 26 has been removed by vocabulary, I have to time is of the essence. The way we manage projects is if we have a defined scope and we have a deadline, we have to stick what's defined and approved. So if you want an added piece added in, and it wants to be integrated within the building, or integrated off the side of the building, or integrated within the sites, integration means different things. But if there's an expectation that it's integrated directly within the building, there's a real potential that you may have to delay the time frame to achieve the quality. But 2026 is not my vocabulary, just to be sure of that. So there's another way to do it. We can put those spaces to the side where they fit, and we focus on the main effort, and allow this to transpire. We have professional consultants standing at the ready to write these business cases to go into the government. So if anybody has any interest, we're ready.
Or if the or if the region so wishes to simply construct those on other parts of the site that you
want. It might be advantageous to allow Tony to do a little bit of sketching to help the visionary process. If anything you have is already funded or has the option to be funded, that's going to help your case going into the province. We need every chamber full going into the province in our negotiation.
Yeah, one thing I'll say, Marie, just to add, we have had community-focused projects, community hub-focused projects where, Marie, as you say, some of the participants that you want to be involved in a community hub aren't quite ready, don't have the funding secured. It's never stopped us from planning where that next move might be, even if it's 4 years out or 6 years out. So, for example, I have a long-term care building right now that's studying child care. Integration, but the application for the child care piece is not approved, but the LTC development has to go ahead to meet the requirements of timelines for funding. So the long-term care home is going ahead. There's a plug-and-play cartridge that can either be included or excluded, and if the funding doesn't come through and the child care component isn't realized, they will make a new application in 2 years or 5 years, and there's a place in the building where that piece can integrate into. So sometimes we're very good at, if we need to, we're very good at thinking about where that future piece could plug in so that it makes sense, so we can think beyond our own program without holding up our program development, if that's helpful.
We've talked about being good stewards of the land that we have, and that's both from an environmental perspective, but it's also from a community. Desire to be part of whatever the best option of the sum of lands can be at that site.
Other comments? Questions? Councillor Fancy?
Hi, I'm Councillor Fancy. A few things that I'd like to ask about. First off, I'll put it like a 1, 2, 3. What is your desire for the plan? You've given us two different plans. What do you think is the best case scenario? I guess which will work better? Could you be able to incorporate what you want to get in there?
You're talking about stories?
Whether it be option one or option two. Would you like
option
to call
three
three
or option four?
I think at the moment, Jack, without having sat down in detail, the bias is towards option one. Which is ground level. It gives the opportunity to maximize access to outdoor space and so on to a greater extent than the other. There is a sort-off in so far as staff travel and so on is concerned. But certainly the bias at the present time is one story, that sort of octopus, whatever it was, we saw in the first diagram.
And if I could just add to that, Tony mentioned several times at-grade access outdoors, and I think one-story option provides that equity to all residents. And there is a real connection that you see with residents. Sure, you could build multi-story and create outdoor spaces on patios, but there is a real tangible impact of being on the ground outside and being closer to your community. So that would be my preference. In terms of staff, we think a lot about staff travel within the facility, but the new guidelines, what they do is they create those small smaller neighborhoods, and you staff differently with smaller neighborhoods. So you're staffing to fill a neighborhood, and in fact, you probably will create smaller space for them to have to travel and work there. That would be my preference.
Because I know that you have like basically four neighborhoods, so then
yeah.
they just, because those staffs work within that until they go together for
That's
lunch
right.
or something like that. Or
and when you look at infection prevention and control, you're really able to maintain or contain an infection, a period of infectious disease within the facility when you're dealing with smaller neighborhoods.
And if you were to vote on this and be able to go forward with this process, anything that we wanted to do with additions, you probably should need to know to see how it could work in conjunction with, right? I mean, things like a pool. Like we're definitely looking there because we've got given money to do this, and how it could fit into your upcast plan or where it could.
So pool is interesting.
Yeah.
Pool is interesting, potentially from a shared heating perspective.
Okay.
If the pool were fired and heated, they're going to use a lot of energy. You might tie that to the arena with proper engineering. But then we could take the peak demand off of the nursing home and buy it from somebody else. There's possibilities.
So you'd want to know things that could be going into that area to be able to understand. This is an outdoor pool. We're not talking indoor pool.
Yeah.
I think Chris's eyes light up.
Well, no, I was just thinking. I haven't briefed Mario at all, but I sort of knew that the pool would come up. And,
yeah, you knew.
And I guess which council would raise it exactly.
No, but just those are some ideas. It's not always functional, as Andrew talks. Sometimes it's engineering, and I'll jump in and support.
Exactly. Yeah, but from a community perspective, and thinking about what my personal vision, and I say me, but I know my team at the Manor, and when I say my team, it's all 103 people that work there, and the 61 people that live there. Anything that we can be a part of in this community, and have nearby, and have access to, it's a no-brainer.
So I see where you're looking at geothermal, which is I understand that from my engineering background with this here.
That's good, because I don't.
The solar, I think it's going to take up way too much space. I don't know how you're going to be able to take so much.
So conserve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where conserve comes in. You'll find that our wall assemblies and our roof assemblies are much thicker than you're used to. So if we conserve energy and we reduce our demand, we get that solar array down. I tell the story that you can take a Prius or a 454 Chevy, put solar panels on both of them, and turn them into net zero. One of them actually achieves the objective. The other's a fake. We want to achieve the objective and deliver a Prius that conserves as much energy as possible. This is where this idea comes into contradiction with the one story. Because the cost of construction and the cost to operate, these are discussions that have yet to find their way to the finish line.
That's right.
Right? And so...
Thank you very much.
Yeah. At the risk of having someone's hand put over my mouth, what we do not want, I'm sure, is what Mahone Bay is building. It's a multi-story building on a small piece of land on the edge of town on a hill. All of the things that we set as objectives to avoid. So this site that we're looking at is great from that perspective. But what we do need is a decision from council to sell us the land. We'd like to have that decision by the end of August.
Councillor Fancy, you were finished. Other questions, comments? Other questions, comments? Councillor Romero.
Hi, I'm Councillor Romero. With a new facility comes new jobs, more jobs, housing. It's going to be a big issue. Had any thought on that for your staff?
I think it's fair to say that we have not looked at it in detail. There are some opportunities. One opportunity is the existing manor. Because there's little doubt in my mind, and Andrew alluded to it, but there's little doubt in my mind we'll be doing some recruiting offshore. And we haven't a plan yet for the existing manor. There are a number of opportunities, and that's one of them. Actually, if you are generous with the next group that's going to present, they will build the houses for us, and then you can let out for our
I was just going to say, in another part of our business, we And so there's a lot of interest coming towards Liverpool. I've talked to at least 3 developers in the past 2 months that have expressed interest in housing in and around your area. So I think it'll come by default.
I think you're correct on that one.
Thanks.
They will build where they know it's needed, which is why Bridgewater is so busy at this point in time. If there are no further questions, I thank you very much. I think I am hopeful that council will give you your decision by the end of August, if not earlier. But we do understand the severity of your situation, the need to hit the end point. And as you know from the words of other council members, we are looking at some structures of our own, where they will be placed, what they will look like, when they will be built. Has not yet been determined, but it is wonderful to know that if we do cluster in that area, what a huge benefit it is, and it's a proven benefit across this country to cluster, organize, and conserve, share, and be part of. So I am looking forward to the day that our facility is built, and I think every resident of Queens County shares the enthusiasm, and I am confident the housing issue will find its way to a solution. So,
Ms. Mayor, if I may just add, if you're looking for a vision as a council, now would be the time to get it economically through Mr. Ross and his company. They're doing the work right now. If you think that would be advantageous, if it were my money, that's it.
Thank you, and thank you, Tony Ross, for your presence. And I know you're on holiday, so thank you for taking the time on your holiday. I'm sure you don't have a lot of them. And look forward to meeting you when you come to our part of the woods.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me into the room today, and I look forward to meeting you in person, and I'm really excited about the project. We often come into projects kind of obviously in the early stages, and we have a look around and we see kind of what's possible. And when I visited the site in May, I saw your site and I was excited. You know, my colleagues were actually telling me to don't get too excited, you know, you don't have the job yet, you know, don't get too excited about something that you know, might not be possible. We were really looking at all the existing stuff that already exists there. You guys have, you know, as a region and a town, you've already done a lot on this site, and that means a lot. It's the ball is already rolling, and we're just looking for an opportunity on how to roll in with that and really push it further. But there's a lot of good things that we see on the site, and there's a lot of potential for a vision there that's quite extraordinary. And that's from somebody who looks at a lot of projects and knows where there's vision and where things can happen. So I'm excited for you, and thanks again.
And while the residents may watch the skateboarding, your residents will be able to take part in the playground, which is a universally designed playground.
Since I'm the most likely to be the first
so I especially look forward to seeing adults playing, because I believe all ages deserve to play. And that universal playground, accessible by all, is going to be amazing as well. So we have great things in our future. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll take a 5-minute